Right, let's take our main textbook, which is the Bible, and if you will, turn to the book of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. It's good to see Brother Bufford here. He just came in. Always good to have he and his daughter with us, and we're glad that they're here for the service. And Brother Bufford served faithfully under Dr. Barber and then was on staff here under my leadership and did a good job calling on the shut-ins, he and his dear wife. It's always good to see Brother Bufford. I want to say thank you for the continued cards that we're getting, and we know you're praying for us, and we appreciate that. And some more cards have been coming in, and thank you so much for those. They encourage us during this time, and we really, really do appreciate it. We want to talk about today God's way of getting our attention. God's way of getting our attention. And the series that we're teaching is Listening to God. And we pointed out in the first lesson that why God speaks today. God wants us to know Him intimately. And then how God spoke in the Old Testament, in the early New Testament days, direct revelation and dreams, the written words that He gave through the prophets, through circumstances, through angels, through the Holy Spirit of God. And then how God speaks today. God wants us to hear Him speak today, and He speaks through His Word, complete revelation we have in the Word of God, and we're glad we have the complete and perfect revelation, and I'm still preaching and teaching out of the King James Version. I've never understood why something was so marvelous and beautiful for 400 plus years and everybody wanted to change it and nobody's together and has the continuity that we had when we all used the King James Version. But anyway, that's just a little side note. And then listening to God, God's purpose in speaking to us. Why does He speak to us? Well, one, He wants us to comprehend the truth. God wants us to know the truth. The truth is what sets us free. And so He wants us to know the truth, and then that we may be conformed to the truth. Knowing it's not enough, but we need to be conformed to the truth, and then God wants us to share the truth with others. So, today, God's way of getting our attention, John 10, 1 through 5. Verse 1 says, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep," the shepherd, "and then the sheep." Keep those two things in mind. "To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth to his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice." And that's the key verse here in this text. "The sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, the stranger, for they know not the voice of strangers." We know the voice of God. Now, sometimes God has to get our attention. I'm sure most of you have had children. At some point you said to your child, you might have got them by the shoulder like this and said, "Listen to me. Are you listening to me? Look at me." How many of you ever had that happen in your, you know, and I can remember when my mother and daddy did that to me. As good a boy as I was, they still had to do that sometimes, you know. "Listen to me. Are you listening to me? I want your attention." Well, sometimes God has to do us that way a little bit. It's natural to drift away a little bit. It's natural for us to sort of get blasé about the things of the Lord, just take them for granted. And many times God wants to speak to us, but we're really not listening. We're rushing, we're hustling, we're bustling, we're going through life, and somehow or another we forget to be tuned in to what God is saying. And the Holy Spirit, if we're walking in the Spirit, if we're walking in the Holy Spirit, then God can speak to us because the Holy Spirit is going to speak to us the things of the Lord and through the Word of God and these other things I'm going to mention. But sometimes our antennas are a little bit dull and down, but we need to remember that God wants to speak to us, And sometimes because we're not listening as intently as we should be, God has to get our attention, just like a parent does a child. And so we need to walk in the Spirit. The problem usually is that we're not walking in the Spirit. Now, how is God going to get our attention? What are some ways he uses to get our attention? One way is restlessness. Restlessness. A restless spirit. And King Ahasuerus is an example of that. We know the story about Haman and Mordecai, and Haman wanted to destroy all the Jews and wipe them out. Another attack of Satan against the Jewish people. And that's what he wanted to do to them. But in Esther chapter 6 and verse 1, the Bible speaks about King Ahasuerus. And it said, on that night could not the king sleep. He couldn't sleep. And he commanded to bring the book of records of the Chronicles. He was restless, couldn't sleep. He said, bring me the Chronicles, the books about them. And they were read before the king. Well, when he read those, he understood that some things he had forgotten were pointed out to him again. And he understood that Mordecai had helped him out, and there had been those who had helped tell him about some people who wanted to kill him, who wanted to destroy King Ahasuerus. And so he remembered that, and he began to look at things a little differently. And of course, you know how the story turned out, where God preserved the Jews. And we know that Haman hung himself on the gallows that he had really prepared for Mordecai. All of that happened. But Esther 6:1 reminds us that he was sleepless that night and he was restless because of that. Now, sometimes in our spirits we get a little restless. And we need to ask why when that happens. Stop and ask God, what's going on? Why are you sort of restless about things in your life? And I can recall, I've only pastored 3 churches in my lifetime over the 47 years of that, and then 3 years as a youth director, a total of 50 years. But whenever God got ready to move me from one pastorate to another, I can go back and look at it now, and I was restless. And I wondered, well, why am I not satisfied of everything? And every time you resign from a church, everybody wants to know, what's wrong? What was the problem? What deacon was giving you the devil? Or what problem did you have in the church? And I would just have to say, well, there wasn't any problem. I mean, typical problems you always have in churches, but no major things that would make you leave and would cause you to... But just sort of a restless spirit, where I thought, well, everything's going well and this is going good and God is blessed, but, you know, I don't know. I'm just restless about it. Well, then from that, God said, one day some men showed up in our congregation, and Carolyn's brother, Herb Fitzpatrick, had told them to come. They needed a pastor in Indiana, and they came there and said afterwards, we'd like to take you out to eat. And I thought then something was up. But anyway, I wound up in Indiana. 7 years in Harrisonburg, Virginia, and 20 years in Connersville, Indiana, at the church there. And then I began to get a restless spirit. And I thought, you know, I don't know. Everything's going well. The church is doing well. And we had a TV ministry, and bills were paid, and money in the bank. And I'd knocked on, it was only around 24,000 people. And I'm telling you, I'd gone down about every street, knocked on door after door after door, and on and on and on after that 20 years. And I was thinking, I don't know, I believe for some reason I'm just not satisfied. Well, God led me here. And God working in his providence with Dr. Barber and our talking and that type thing, and I wound up here. But I could have stayed there a long time. Everything was going well. But I just had a restless spirit. And I believe God put that in my heart so I'd be willing to leave and come here. And so I hope you're glad I did come here. But at any rate, you had it for about 19 years. But a restless spirit. And when that happens, stop and ask God, what's going on? And let him show you. And then God speaks through others. God speaks through others. The last two blanks were stop and listen, by the way. Somebody told me, some folks had mentioned this morning, I'm going too fast for the blanks. But A under that is restlessness, and one under that is stop and listen. Stop and listen. And so, number two, God speaks through others, and God often does that. In 2 Samuel 12, God used Nathan to talk to David. And the prophet came to him and he told this story to him. He said, you know, there was a rich man that had a lot of sheep and he was wealthy, and a guest came through. And then there was a poor man who had one little ewe lamb that was their pet. That's the only one they had, and they had raised it from a child. And he spent a lot of time, you read it, he spent a lot of time with that little lamb. It was like a pet dog, but it was a lamb. And the rich man took the ewe lamb and sacrificed it for the stranger that had come by, the guest that he had. And Nathan was telling him about it, and he said, what do you think about that? I'm putting it in our language. And he said, I think he ought to repay it fourfold, and all kinds of things should happen to him because he's a sorry person that did that. And then you remember what Nathan said to David? Thou art the man. And so he used the prophet to show him that he had problems. And he told him in 2 Samuel 12, you can read the chapter, that there are going to be some problems with you because of what you did in committing adultery. And he went on into having her husband killed, so on and so forth. Well, sometimes ego and pride, in your outline there, ego and pride will keep us from listening. Ego and pride. Proverbs warns about people who cannot take criticism or reproof. Sometimes we need some helpful criticism. Sometimes we need some reproof. Husbands, are you listening to your wives sometimes? Well, wives, are you listening to your husbands sometimes? Sometimes we all need a little bit of reproof and some criticism and somebody talking to you. And I remember the church that I pastored in Indiana at one time. They were running 1,300 under my wife's brother, Herb Fitzpatrick, and he started the church, didn't even have a car, had holes in the soles of his shoes, and just ate off of the some of the families that would feed him, and he was single. And so later he built the church. The Lord blessed him and used it. But another guy came after Dr. A.V. Henderson pastored the church. And then another person came, and he was weird. And he messed the church up. And the church was just inflamed and divided. And Dr. Henderson and Herb went back and talked to the pastor and said, look, the church is going to split. It's going to hurt the testimony. It was the largest church by far anywhere around in that territory. That was considered an extra big church in those days. And the man would not listen. And they said, you know, you ought to resign. You ought to go. And he would not do it. He split the church. And what was left of the split, he split it again and started another church after that. He was too proud, too arrogant to listen to anybody who'd give him some good advice. And I might add, he's never done anything and been successful in any pastorate since then, even though he's tried. But he was just too arrogant to listen to good advice from two great men of God who loved him and wanted to help him out and wanted to help that church. Well, sometimes God gives us warnings through people, but there's a warning about that too. Number one, we need to carefully examine the messenger. Carefully examine the messenger. You don't want to listen to some backslidden, carnal, critical, mean-spirited person who would give you bad advice who's not walking with the Lord. You want to be careful who the messenger is, so carefully examine the message that he's giving. Just because somebody gives you advice doesn't mean it's the right advice. And we have a case at point with King Rehoboam in 2 Chronicles 10. And the people requested a lighter burden, and he went to some older men as counselors and said, "You tell me what you would do." And they said, "Back off a little bit and the people will love you, and don't make it so rigorous and you'll have them. If not, you're going to divide them." Well, then he went to the young men and they said, "No, what you need to do is amplify that, make it worse." And so finally he told them that you've been whipped with whips. I'm going to get you with scorpions. And he said, "You hadn't seen anything yet." And so he took bad advice from a group of people who were giving him bad advice. He really should have known better and known that the older elders of that area would have given him better advice. So what happened as a result of that was the kingdom divided because he took bad advice. So we need to be careful and weigh it all out, but it's never so bad sometimes when somebody loves us and wants to help us out. And there have been a few times my wife has pointed out some things in my ministry, especially early on in my ministry, and I'm glad I listened to her. And she wasn't trying to be mean, but she was trying to be helpful. And I've never pointed out anything to her about her life, but she's had, you know. But anyway, there are some times you ought to just listen. You just ought to listen to some people who are trying to help you out. And then the third thing, which seems a little different, is sometimes God gets our attention by just abundantly blessing us. Just blessing us. Blessings come. God speaks through blessings in most unusual ways sometimes. Now, I enjoy hearing from him that way more than the other way, when God just pours out his blessings. And there have been times in my life where God just was just pouring out blessings, and I'm thinking, "God, you know, wow, look what you're doing." And somehow it just attracted me to God more and want to talk to God more and check my life out more and just thank him and praise him more and walk with him closer and all of that, simply because he was blessing. And when God just pours out his blessings, sometimes he wants to get our attention so he can even bless us more. Romans 2:4, he says, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God," watch it, "the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance." Sometimes, right in the midst of it, God just blesses us, and we get to thinking about how he's blessed us. We search our hearts, and we say, "You know, there's some things I need to straighten out. There's some areas I need to be more dedicated in." And sometimes he blesses us with spiritual or financial blessings. Spiritual blessings or financial blessings. It may be something at home. It may be something where we work or some other way. And sometimes God cannot do that for some people because this method doesn't work for everyone. And the reason is sometimes they're too selfish and also self-centered. And so if God abundantly blesses, they'd let it ruin them. They'd let it go to their ego, let it go to their mind, and they'd become more independent of God, thinking they had done it and they were the cause of it. But when God blesses us, he just would like to get our attention. And when we have children, the reason we want to tell them some things and warn them about things is because we love them. And sometimes we give them an abundance of our emotional blessings and other things just to protect them. And God does that. Then another way is unanswered prayer. Sometimes we're praying and we cruise until an urgent need comes. Until an urgent need comes. A lot of times we're just sort of going along, and then an urgent need comes and we pray, and we can't seem to pray out of the room. Heaven becomes brass. I've been there. You've probably been there too. Maybe there now. I don't know. But then when that happens and we have a predicament and we're praying and nothing happens and we're not getting our prayers answered as far as we know, then God gets our attention and he may want to speak to us and tell you, "This is why you're not getting your prayers answered." And so it's time for self-examination. Time for self-examination when we're not getting our prayers answered. And that, of course, is under the illumination of the Holy Spirit. So here's some things that go along with that. Unanswered prayer, why are they unanswered? And sometimes it's because we're asking for the wrong reason. James 4:3. Ye ask and receive not. Why? Why would we not receive? Because you ask amiss, the wrong reason, that you may consume it upon your lust. We're asking for the wrong reason. We're asking for our own personal pride and benefit rather than for the glory of God. And so we do that. And then because of disobedience, 1 John 3:22, and whatsoever we ask, we receive of him because why? Because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And if we're not keeping his commandments and not doing what's pleasing in his sight, then he gets our attention by unanswered prayers. And then sometimes it's simply not God's will, 1 John 5:14. And this is the confidence that we have in him, that if we ask anything according to his will, he heareth us. And even Jesus prayed in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. If this cup can pass from me, but if not, thy will be done, Father. And so we'd be wise to do that, but sometimes it's not God's will. And then there can be insensitivity in marriage, and our prayers are not being answered. 1 Peter 3:7, likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together the grace of life. Why? That your prayers be not hindered. So husbands, if you're not treating your wife right, your prayer is not going to be answered. And I think it works the other way too. But insensitivity in marriage. And then if the prayers are answered, we may stray further off base, which he tells us about in that. Now, if answered, we sometimes we get away from God. So, for instance, Paul's thorn in the flesh in 2 Corinthians 12:7, and lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. So sometimes these things happen so that we will not get exalted above measure. And so Paul knew and understood the word grace. And then he had a new dimension of dependence on God. And sometimes we need that. And then there's disappointment. Disappointment. The Israelites and the 12 spies in Numbers 14, you remember the report, the 12 were sent out. 10 said we can't do it. 2 said we can, Joshua and Caleb. The problem was that there was not enough faith on their part. And God had to get their attention because they were not exercising faith. And sometimes when we're not exercising faith, God has to get our attention. And I don't have time to read all this, but in Numbers 14, you can read it. In those verses, he's talking about the fact that every single person that was in that minority report that didn't do what was right, they were going to die. They would wander in the wilderness until they died. And so it was a result of the fact that they did not have faith, and God got all of their attention, and then that helped in generations to come. Disappointments sometimes get our attention. Sometimes in young couples, for instance, they're planning to get married and the wedding gets called off, and they can't understand that. But sometimes God is getting their attention. They might say, God, what are you doing? And God might answer, I'm stopping the wrong marriage, and I want to get your attention. This is happening because I know what's down the road, and I don't want you to marry that person because they'll pull you away from the Lord. You thought it was right, but God knew it wasn't. And sometimes when we have disappointments, I've noticed in pastoring over these years that people try to blame God. I can think of some elderly couples that I have visited over the years, different ones, different times, and they're maybe in their 80s, and they're having physical problems, which the Bible talks a whole lot about 70 and 10, and a lot of times those are the time periods in life where it's just natural that more problems, physical problems, come. But inevitably, I'll have some of them say, I don't know what we've done. We've tried to serve God all our life. I don't know why we're sick. I don't know why we're having these problems. Is God mad at me? Is God mad at us? And I'm saying, no, God loves you, but this is just part of life. And, you know, the last statistic I heard, that everybody in here, unless Jesus comes, we're going to die one of these days. And so it's, I know that's not exciting to you, but I know it's a realistic thing. But don't blame God. When problems come, God may just want to get your attention and draw us closer to him. Job's wife said, curse God and die. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? You still going to serve God? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What? Shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil? Oh, we like it when it's good, but when it's not good, we question God. In all this, did not Job sin with his lips? Job got the picture, and when he got through, he said, I abhor myself, I repent in sackcloth and ashes. God is the one who's on the throne. Blessed be the name of the Lord. So the way we respond to disappointments is very, very important. God allows them, they come into our lives, and we must not listen to Satan. The way we respond to disappointments is important. Sometimes we'll say, well, I'm not worth anything, or God doesn't love me, and all of that. The proper response is to ask this question, what are you teaching me? What are you teaching me? And sometimes he has new plans and insights for us. And then, number five, I think it is, unusual circumstances come. Unusual circumstances. And we know about Moses and the burning bush, Exodus 3, 3 and 4, and God appeared to him in a very unusual way to get his attention, the burning bush that didn't burn up. And remember that attention getters in my life and your life are not accidents. They're not accidents. We call them accidents sometimes, but they're really not any accidents to the child of God. Attention getters are not accidents. And a person may lose their job and ask God why, or what will other people think. But what we need to ask is, what are you saying to me? And that's some things that God wants to say when he gets our attention. Then another thing under that is failure. Israel and Jericho and Ai, all of that, Achan's sin. There was no direction from God. They had not had the direction from God. God got Joshua's attention. Everything just really went bad. They just had great victory. But in Joshua 7:6, Joshua rent or tore his clothes, fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until the eventime, he and the elders of Israel, and put dust on their heads. God got their attention. And God stopped the blessing. So following great blessing is when we have to be careful about failure. They had just had the walls of Jericho come down, and all of a sudden they're having this. They had to have some failure as a stepping stone. And we need to admit failure and give him our attention. Admit our failure, give him our attention. And then sometimes it's financial collapse. And we know that the Israelites were in idolatry. And in Judges 6:6, and Israel was greatly impoverished because of the Midianites, and the children of Israel cried unto the Lord. When did they cry unto the Lord? After they were impoverished. Our time's passed. We'll pick up with that later on, okay? We'll stop there for today. Father, thank you for helping us. Sometimes we don't listen to you as keenly as we should. And I pray that you'd help us to realize that many times those things that are taking place in our lives are to get our attention so that you might speak to us, so that we might be more in your will and bring you more glory. In Christ's name, amen.